This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. A special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. Joining us here on stage is my friend Craig Jackson. You guys have all heard of Barrett Jackson. Well, here is Mr. Craig Jackson himself. And we just had an amazing auction over at Mandalay Bay just a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, I was telling the audience, raised $1 million with one car for the first responders. We should talk about that for a moment, because that's got to be a world record.
Well, that was a great moment. Well, we've sold several cars for charity for $1 million. Actually, Steve had sold his Fairlane, and that money went to the military before for $1 million. And this year, you know, after what happened, the tragedy and the shooting, we had to do something. Steve stepped up, donated his Super Snake, and it made magic. And I also think it helped a little with the healing for Las Vegas. And, you know, Discovery was kind enough to show it on Discovery across their networks. And I think that that was a great way to put a little bit of healing towards everybody that was affected.
No doubt about it. Vegas strong. Okay. And you guys did such a great job of not only selling that one car, but you sold several cars for the catastrophe that happened over there and raised $1.5 million or more dollars, right?
Yeah, we raised $100,000 the first day with NASCAR charities for the local university hospital here,
right,
where they're training all the trauma,
right,
surgeons. And a lot of them, they were very modest up there. They didn't want to really talk too much about it, but they were really responsible for saving a lot of the lives.
Right.
And they got all the worst patients there at the University Medical Center.
It was like mass triage.
It was.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, but we also, you know, let's don't forget, we've had three major hurricanes. We sold two cars to help the relief efforts there, one for the Red Cross, one for Convoy of Hope. And, you know, it's just part of our Barrett Jackson philosophy of, you know, using our platform to raise money for needy causes.
Yep, it's awesome. Well, here we are in the Craftsman Garage. We're talking about Barrett Jackson, the next one coming up in January. Maybe we can touch on that a little bit.
Well, I think it'll be a great year. We've already got some great cars. We had some of them in Las Vegas. We had that Talbot Lago with the Soucek coachwork on it that's in our salon already. That, I don't know if you saw it, that beautiful Rolls Royce,
yeah,
with
beautiful,
the copper on it.
Kidding me? It's gorgeous.
In the muscle car world, a ZL1, a Hemi Cuda, 71 four-speed car. Across the board, it's already lining up to be a great auction year. This year, we're going to do something different. We're going to start auctioning on Monday, and we're going to go live on Discovery on Monday to kick off the week for their,
wow,
Motor Monday,
wow,
and continue all the way through Saturday night.
Wow. And,
so it's going to be quite a week this
More
year.
More of the good stuff.
More of the good stuff. You know, last year we sold 1,700 cars. It'll be somewhere around the same neighborhood this
good
year.
Good Lord.
And as every year, we try to do something different. This year, we bought a bigger tent, so the site's...
Are you serious?
We bought a wider structure, so it's going to grow again this year.
So. Oh, my gosh. That is amazing, man. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here at the Craftsman Garage.
I said that that's all right.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead after these messages.
I'm just a fool for your stockings, I believe.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. Special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. SEMA 2017. Right now, I'm broadcasting in the Craftsman Garage right inside the Central Hall. Joining us here on stage is my friend Craig Jackson. So as far as people can find out more about this, go to Barrett-Jackson.com and see all the cars that are being auctioned off. Lots of celebrities, lots of celebrity cars. Any notable celebrity cars yet that you can talk about? Ford GT?
Yes, we made the press announcement. We teased it a little bit when we were leaving Velocity, but Ron Pratt has donated his new Ford GT.
You're kidding.
So we will be selling that on Saturday.
The new one?
The new one.
Oh, my gosh. Jay Leno and a few people have gotten that. That's it.
Yeah, he was one of the first ones because he's donated so much money to all the different Ford cars and charities. So they gave him one earlier. Well, he had to buy it, but he was in the list. And
just getting on the list is hard. Yeah.
Yes, and getting it, and he's turned around and donated it.
Wow.
And we have some other very special cars that with special guests that are coming, but we can't announce them yet. So it will be last year, you know, it was hard. You always say, how do you top last year?
Yeah.
You know, last year, Steven Tyler,
right?
You know, followed up with Justin Bieber.
Burt Reynolds was there.
Burt Reynolds, Stole Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, you go through the list. Michael Phelps.
It's like the Academy Awards of cars, as well as you can buy stuff.
Yeah. So this year we are already working on another great list of people that love cars coming out to help us with our different philanthropic endeavors that we do at Barrett Jackson.
It's very awesome. Also, the new app, you can follow the whole process on the app online. You can bid online. You guys have so many cool things going on.
Yeah, we were early adopters of technology and watching the live stream. So if you didn't catch it on the auction block or were at commercial or things like that, we offer two streams, one all the cars all the time, which is covering gavel to gavel, first car to last car, and then our second screen experience, the Shell Performance Live Stage, which you are at, and where we do a lot of post-interviews.
Right. No,
so
it's fun, too.
Follow along with Barrett Jackson.
Well, and the co-hosts are pretty interesting. You know, we had Dennis from Fast and Loud, Dennis Collins, Gas Monkey Garage guy. I had no idea that guy knew that much about cars until...
Oh, he's been into it. He's been a customer for like 22, 23 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just till they go by. It's like he has the goods on all the cars. Like, where'd you get that? It's like all up here. I've bought and sold that car probably three times, you know. And that's the thing about Barrett Jackson. That's where the metal, you know, the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell who knows their stuff about cars and who doesn't when they can just tell you one right after another history and why that car's worth more and why did this one bring so much and this one not so much. Well, because they only made a few of those in that trim or that whatever, you know?
That's what we're trying to show in the second screen experience.
Right.
When you're just watching it and Velocity does a great job, Mignante crunching the numbers.
They
don't have time to really explain why this car did so much better than that car.
Right.
And that's the whole reason, is to give knowledge and keep building a database so people can go back and and look at these archives and explain the differences. Plus, using our in-house talent, we have some great automotive.
Your auto experts there are unbelievable. And, you know, to that point, the symposiums.
The symposiums.
Really
trying to
good.
Teach people how to get into car collecting and what to look for.
Yep.
Because we believe an educated consumer is the best thing to have there. And people, for a lot of people, this is their hobby, and we want them to get into this and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And our job isn't to authenticate every car. Our job is to make sure that the owner is representing it as close to as actual as can be possible. It doesn't mean every car we're selling is guaranteed to be a numbers matching car.
Right.
We sell drivers. We sell resto mods. But if somebody is making a statement like that, we do our best to try to validate the statements that the owner is making. And that, I think, gives people a lot more confidence to come and bid at Barrett Jackson. At about every auction, about 40% of our buyers are first-timers.
Yeah.
So you got to try to do it in a way that makes them feel comfortable.
Sure.
And educating people is the best way to make them feel comfortable
no
about
question.
The process.
No question. And making it also to where they can get involved with the symposiums, the second screen experience, to where, you know, they can come up and talk to some of the people that have, you know, been up there on the stage with us. And I think it's what's good about Barrett-Jackson is that it's much more accessible. And there's so many touch points, so much fun stuff to do. When is the actual auction date for January 2018? 13th to the 21st, Carolyn Jackson and Megan Jones right over there yelling, the cheerleaders yelling.
On Sunday, as always, with an unbelievable party that my wife puts on here in Vegas. I got to say, that was one of the best parties we've ever had. And every time we try to top it, and Barrett-Jackson's like a family, and people come together four times a year, you know. Different note, we had to go to the Days for a funeral. Their son was one of the ones tragically shot
The
festival.
Right.
And it just brings it home that we are a family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And we lost one of our members.
Yep. Well, coming up January 2018, Barrett-Jackson, the big Barrett-Jackson in Scottsdale, and now even a bigger tent. Already had the biggest tent in the world. Now, I don't know, it's obviously you're breaking your own record. Which is the best way to do it. Mr. Craig Jackson. Give it up for Craig Jackson, everybody. We'll see you out there in January.
Thanks,
Craig. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here at the Craftsman Garage.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them,
don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage live at SEMA. And our next guest up is Troy Trepanier from Rad Rides. And Troy, you know, I've been following your career for years. People talk about you like I know you. And this is the first time we've met. And it's just a pleasure to meet you because I know you through all of your works. And so your works are out there in front of you. And it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's, you know, the power of media, as you know.
And, right?
I tell you, this place, like I said, I was out in the back of the hall here looking for you guys. And to come to the front now is impossible. It's getting so busy here.
Right. Well, so here we are in the Craftsman Garage. And maybe just start out. I mean, tools. You cannot do your job without tools.
You know, we're lucky. We use a lot of different ones. And our Ace Hardware in town, we're the... in a small town of 10,000, so.
Right.
But we're the biggest customer, and they've got a great selection, actually, of Craftsman tools. I mean, from sockets, ratchets, all the hand tools, everything. So, you know, it's a nice location, and we're always looking for something special, you know, all the time. And, you know, of course, being in town, Ace is the place.
There you go. All right. Doesn't get any better than that. And he's not being paid to say that. At the end of the day, all us craftsmen have Craftsman tools, have used Craftsman tools, and so we're kind of like, we feel homey here, you know what I mean?
Oh, this is a perfect fit.
Great backdrop. So tell the world about Rad Rods.
Well, we're in a little town there south of Chicago, about an hour, and started, back in 96 as a real business, and been very fortunate. We come up with the name Rad Rides because we do a wide variety of cars. Half our year now is spent land speed racing. And
really?
Yeah, we do land speed racing, standing mile, drag week, and then do these street cars also. So kind of my background a little bit was I did all the sports in school. My father had an automotive garage in our little town my whole life. My grandfather was a pipe fitter, and he was the guy in town. If you needed something welded, go see Johnny. So I grew up welding pop cans together and tearing apart engines. So it kind of stuck when I got out of high school. Went to work for my dad just as a mechanic. Started doing this stuff a little bit, and then kind of met the right people and spun into a pretty good lifestyle.
What was the tipping point for you, you think, Rad Rides by Troy, when you finally became, instead of just being Troy the mechanic, Troy the Body Man to Troy Trepan, your Rad Rides by Troy?
The way I got started was I did my own cars. Like I would, I was young, 18, did a couple street machines, went to the right events, met Gray Baskerville at Hot Rod Magazine, and he was Hot Rod Magazine at the time.
Right.
And Gray took me under his wing. I did the first Power Tour. It was called the Victory Tour in 1990.
Wow.
Gray rode with me, and we drove here, parked out front. You know, now you can't park out there. But so I've been coming here since 90 and did a few of my own cars and to get my name going. And then I built a car called the Sniper. Me and Chip kind of...
Wait a minute. You built the Sniper?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
So that was my first big customer, George Poteet out of Tennessee. So
your work will be out there, and people will connect you to that as the years go on. That's awesome. That's been a long time ago.
That was nice. We actually unveiled that car here in 95, and it was when it was the Hilton still over there. They had the 50th anniversary of Hot Rod Magazine, and they inducted the first 50 guys into the Hall of Fame. So Dave McClellan, we had the car covered up on stage, and had, you know, all the racers of the whole industry. It was couldn't be in a better place at the right time.
Totally. Gosh. Troy Trepan, you're joining us, a true craftsman. Chip Foose, where'd you meet Chip?
I met Chip here in 1990.
Wow.
We had breakfast this morning, and we're great friends.
He's
in my wedding, and we do special events now because he's busy and I'm busy. We've been to Tokyo together. We raced the Baja 1000 together. So
come on. What year?
07, I think it was.
Won 06, so I didn't see you there.
You in the Baja Challenge car?
I know. I did that with Jesse James in 04, right? Jesse James, by the way, funny story about that. Baja Challenge, all the cars are the same. We got there, and Jesse James, you know, Monster Garage, our car was yellow. And he goes, I ain't driving in that car. And the guy goes, why? He goes, that car's yellow. I ain't driving in no yellow car. Yellow cars are for chickens.
That sounds like Jesse.
He made them paint it. They painted overnight. We came back the next morning. It still had fingerprints on it from people pushing it out of the paint booth. It was red.
That's a great experience, isn't it?
Right,
1000.
Oh, wow. I got to race with Hummer. And, of course, when you say you win, you know, the tortoise and the hare, I raced with the tortoise team, so we won because they just take it slow and easy. And the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise does win.
Well, just finishing that event, as you know, is incredible.
So your favorite car that you built?
You know, they're all good in a certain way. We built a car called the Blowfish, and it's a Bonneville car. It was Hot Rod Magazine Car of the Year in 07. And we're one of only three door slammers to ever go over 300 mile an hour. It's a 69 Barracuda that we went 320 mile an hour with. And it's been an 11-year thing where we've set four or five records, and so it's an ongoing deal. So it really kind of, you know, the one thing out there is, you know, when you're building these cars, you know, a lot of it's cosmetic, this and that. We've always driven our cars cross-country.
Right.
But you either put up or shut up out there, just like Baja.
That's
so
exactly
Bonneville
right.
has been very good to us. We've built a Streamliner, several cars now.
How did you get into Bonneville racing? I mean, you know,
George Poteet. You know, he got into Bonneville, and he said, you know, you need to come out here.
Yeah.
Gray Baskerville, of course, that was his chapel out there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was another instigator. And
is that dying, or is it resurging?
You know, the facility, they finally stopped mining out there, so the facility is slowly repairing itself.
Right.
But as far as attendance and spectators and participants, it's out of control.
It's the one thing I've never done. I've always wanted to do. So I'm glad. I don't want to leave this earth without being able to go to a salt racing.
It's the last form of novice racing, a little bit like Baja.
You
know, it's kind of, you know, you can, anybody can compete.
Yeah.
You know, the big sponsors aren't there, and it's amazing. It's the different cars you see, you know. And luckily, we get to work on the better cars. You know, George runs his Speed Demon Streamliner we're a big part of, and he's went 462 mile an hour. So.
Ooh, man. That's some serious stuff. Yeah. Rad Rods by Troy. Troy Trepan, thank you, brother. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
It's guys like you that make our hobby what it is. All right. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage. We'll be right back. Man, oh baby.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And welcome back, everybody. I'm Alan Taylor here in the Craftsman Garage and the Craftsman booth at SEMA 2017. We're also going to be broadcasting these interviews live on 100 radio stations on our radio show called The Drive. Josh Hancock here. He is the guy in the Hollywood that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. And he's a what did you say you were? What was the job title?
I'm an art director.
I already forgot. It's on. You got to talk right into it, brother. It's not like regular radio.
Is it really on?
It's on. It's
usually
on.
He turns it off for me, and that way I know that I'm.
I don't know my
welcome.
Buttons.
Thank God your son has a control.
That's right. So,
yes.
In a moment, we're going to have supercar builder Steve Saleen, and he has so many awesome machines throughout the years, from the S7, but so many Mustangs. I was telling the audience yesterday, I met him in 1986. I met him in a racetrack with Tim Allen when they had RRR Racing, you know, Tim Allen, RRR, and they were racing Mustangs, you know, Trans Am type stuff. And both those guys can drive. I mean, really good.
They can. I mean, yeah. Steve had that Ranger pickup that he also raced. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
I have a great Steve Saleen story because I built some movie cars in Detroit at his facility.
I kind of vaguely remember that about a decade ago.
We were doing a movie that went down 4 weeks before it was to be made, and we had spent $750,000, and those cars were in crates.
Oh, no.
They were based on an electric vehicle. And Saleen did an amazing job, and it was a huge movie. And gosh knows what happened to those cars. The studio stopped paying
well,
the rental.
Movie cars are worth a lot if you can find them.
But the Saleen team really got it because they know how to get stuff into production. They can design and build anything. And, you know, usually you're sticking within Hollywood because there's so many shops that build and they specialize in it. But Saleen stepped up and they did a great job. And then you never saw it. You can't even rent it.
The movie?
They're gone. Yes.
Oh, that's sad. So what are you doing here? I know you got a couple of customers here. You've seen anything interesting?
I haven't. By the time of getting here today, I ran here.
Oh, gosh.
To get the credential and the bus and the whole thing. It's just amazing.
So what do you think of the Craftsman Garage? Pretty cool,
garage,
right?
The Craftsman Garage is great. I mean, the thing about Craftsman is who's going to go, oh, no, I don't want Craftsman.
That's right.
Of course you want Craftsman. Somebody, you've touched a Craftsman tool somewhere in your life. You've been hit on the head with one. But there's always, it's been in your life, you know.
Speak of the devil, I see Steve Saleen. That's the problem with celebrities here in SEMA is they can't walk 10 feet before they get stopped by somebody needing an autograph or something.
He's been in the business a long time.
Yep.
Everyone also has probably touched a Saleen Mustang somewhere in their life.
You know, my first interaction was I bought a 1992. Man, I got to get back into the 90s. A 92 or 93 Saleen Mustang. It had a serial number on the dash and everything. And I didn't know what Saleen was, so I had to call somebody and go, what's a Saleen package? And they told me all about it. And I go, cool, I just bought a Saleen Mustang. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Now I have to worry about what is worth.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. A special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. Joining us on stage is Mr. Steve Saline. Hi, Steve. So, what have you been up to, Mr. Steve Saline? I mean, I know you've been very busy boy.
Nothing.
You've been just kicking back on the couch. Now, I know you've got Amy Boylan working with you. I see you working with Cam Binti. You're recruiting some of the top brass of our industry.
That's true. It's and actually this year at SEMA, I would say, it's really interesting having had a car on a Saline Mustang on display since 1984 every
year.
Wow. And my first SEMA show was 1972.
Whoa.
So I'm dating myself, but it is interesting seeing how much it has evolved and the changing. And certainly a lot of seasoned people are finding new niches here within the organization as the aftermarket and the speed equipment morph into where we're headed in the future.
Yeah, no doubt, Josh.
So back when Mr. Peterson started SEMA, Mr. Peterson of the Peterson Museum, that was in a basement of a building in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, my understanding, it started in Dodger Stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that was a little bit before my time. But when I got out of high school, I had a hot rod Mustang, and I attended in my first SEMA show in 72 at the Anaheim Convention Center, and I was the guest of a company called Anson Automotive, which at that time was similar to really what Edelbrock is doing and Iskaderian and all of really the founding, what I'll call the founding fathers of SEMA.
Right.
Didn't you have a hot rod Ford Ranger pickup? Am I wrong on that?
No, we did. That was in the 80s.
Okay.
It was, we had a Saline Ranger. We were the Ford factory race team for the ranging, or for the sport trucks. And I actually have the most wins out of everyone in that era.
Wow.
On doing that. And truck racing, I will say, was always the most fun to do out of all the racing I've done, from IndyCar, sports car, formula type of racing. Truck was actually in a whole different league by
That's
itself.
That's a big statement. Alan does that in Oregon, just going to the store.
Now, what do you think about all this drifting that's going on? That is really coming on like crazy. I mean, everybody's doing it. Every manufacturer, every young person, I think maybe because of the video games, they start out drifting on video games, and then they get behind the wheel, and they want to drift these things.
Yeah, and obviously that is the latest thing. We sponsored several drift cars back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
When it really kind of started becoming a little bit more popular and they had the contest. Drifting kind of goes against everything you learn as a race car driver, though.
Yeah,
I will
right.
say just inherently. But from a visual standpoint, it really is spectacular.
Yeah, no, it is.
I think it's somewhat like if your dentist gave you candy, the tire companies are the ones pushing the kids towards the
right.
Go ahead, have the candy.
Well, you know, when they put 707 horsepower is now kind of like, oh, it's only got 77. Because my new Hellcat Demon has 840. Oh, that's no big deal because Steve Saline is going to have 1,000 or the other tuners. 1,000 is nothing anymore to you guys, you tuner guys.
No, you're looking at, 2,000.
2,000.
Stop.
No, really.
We do have a Russian team took an S7 and turned that into a four-wheel drive 2,200 horsepower supercar.
Right? So when you think about Steve Saline, Carroll Shelby, John Hennessy, a couple, a few of these, Edelbrock is gone now. The performance, you guys, you're in that group. Where will it stop? I mean, like you said, 2,200 horsepower. Where will it stop?
Well, I don't think it will. Okay, and but you are, it's hard to tell where the future is going. I will say, we also have a Saline version of the Tesla, and I will tell you that electric cars are actually coming on stronger than what you think, and they're a lot of fun to drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really where you're going, right? You're going to use the electric with a big motor and get even more power. in a better way. People think it's...
Does that bug you, though, that the electric car world is kind of encroaching with the performance on the world that you and Carol and, you know, the folks that started this high horsepower world? I mean, are you seem to be embracing it, where I don't see the other guys embracing it.
Yeah, I guess I would say we tend to embrace it a lot more. I would have been thinking at the turn of last century, we would have been sitting there, do you think the new contraption here with the automobile is going to outpace the horse and the buggy
this?
And I will tell you that life moves on and all of that. I will make one prediction here. That I can guarantee you haven't probably heard here. You're assuming, there's a big assumption here that you're assuming that the future cars, the electric cars, will have wheels.
Oh, hover mobiles.
Here we go.
Back to the future.
He's making the Jetson announcement here at the Craftsman booth.
Well,
I love that.
But you have to kind of look, I won't get into the specifics on this, but with electric cars, you now have electric magnetic type of unique opportunities to have transportation take a different type of form,
like they
than
do
what we've been talking
in
about.
Asia, right? And, those trains.
And I will, yes. Actually,
yes.
You're thinking a little bit more aligned.
See, he knows something. He's trying not to say it.
But, yeah, I'm not going to say it. But there is other technologies that you are making big assumptions.
So here's the headline that comes out of this at SEMA. Steve Saleen on the Craftsman event announces drifting is dead.
No.
No tires.
The tires are dead.
Magnetic drifting, but we're going to have to pipe in the sound.
You're right. Wow. So let me change the subject on you. I want to know what is new coming out of Saleen, because I know with all the people you're putting on, something big about to happen.
We have been busy.
Yes.
Yes. Two things. One, I will say that we have been busy selling cars and doing things over in China. That
really?
Has exploded as a market. I will also say, regarding the drifting, we're part of the first Chinese car show. It's on doing drifting in China. I was on racetracks and around the city in Shanghai.
When you say car show,
drifting.
You mean a physical car show or on television?
On television.
Okay.
Oh.
A TV reality TV show.
Can it be seen on the internet?
You will be able to see it here soon on the internet.
Okay.
And we've been doing that. But in addition to that, at SEMA here, we have on display several of our Black Label Mustangs and also our anniversary edition for our 30th anniversary. This year is of winning our first championship in the Saleen Mustang. But if you look now, just a few, not at the end of this month, at the LA Car Show, we will have a major announcement that I think will surprise a lot of people in a numerous ways.
Well, he's had a lot of big news. Where's your booth so people can go see it?
Well, we don't actually have a booth. We've always have cars in other people's booths.
Yeah.
On doing it, so the closest car, I think, is out front in Central Hall here, right out by the show.
Well, I know with the folks that you have surrounding yourself with, that are some of them very much dear friends of mine for decades. I don't want to date myself. And I met you and Tim Allen back in 86 at the racetrack when you guys were doing RRR racing. My son came out the other day wearing my RRR Racing that had your signature on it and Tim's from 1986.
Wow.
My son is wearing. He wasn't even born, you know?
That's good. And I'll take credit, as I tell you all the time, especially when Tim's not here, is I take credit for everything that Tim knows. His stand-up comedy routine on this deal.
He talks about you behind your back, too.
The TV shows and how to do the voice of Buzz Lightyear.
Exactly.
No problem. So.
I'll give it up for Steve Saleen, everybody's amazing supercars and fantastic cars. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to come see
you're
your
stuff. You're in the Craftsman.
That's exactly right.
Can't be a
right.
better talking
it's perfect,
about tools.
Right? Exactly.
Take something with you, Steve. Just take something with you, whatever you like.
Give him a tool, will you?
Give him something.
I'm going to give you an Allen wrench.
Oh, there you go.
For Alan Taylor. There you go.
You'll
take credit for that.
Steve, thank you very much. All right, we'll be back with more.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes Online Manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome back to the Craftsman Garage. I'm Alan Taylor here in the Craftsman booth. Joining us right now is Russell Holmes from Garage Rehab, part of Richard Rawlings and Gas Monkey Garage's new show. Russell, welcome to the show. Tell us what you do in Garage Rehab. What is your role there?
My role on Garage Rehab is I'm the project manager, which basically means I'm the heavy. I go in there and Richard and his certain way he likes things done and the unrealistic time frame he has, I'm the guy who has to get it done. I got to make sure it's done under budget, on time, to his liking, which to his liking is usually the toughest part.
Right, exactly. Now, I don't hear a Dallas, Texas accent in you. Where is that accent?
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker through and through, you know. And I think that's what fits because Richard and I always go back and forth about the Dallas pace and the New York pace. And we need to get these done in a New York pace.
Well, there you go. In a New York minute.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That's funny. So give us a couple of the shows. I mean, have you been having fun with it? Richard was talking about the other day he had one where you guys had to, like, yeah, the guy was a hoarder and he had 30 truckloads or something of junk you guys had to get rid of.
It's amazing to me. We actually did one in L.A., which was probably one of the best ones we had done from the before and after effect. But this guy, when we actually pulled up, he had so much junk, it actually said antiques on his sign.
Are you serious?
I swear. So we went in there, and he had so many cars in there. I'm like, this is a busy shop.
Right.
But they were all his cars. They were not one customer.
Come on, right?
Yeah, right.
He's in business with himself,
right,
for himself, by himself.
And that's a recurring problem we have with these guys is they come across something, whether the guy didn't pay the bill and he doesn't know, have the business savvy to lien the car or actually contact the guy and work out a deal, and they just take it on their own and they end up filling up their yards with cars that aren't making them any money.
Right.
And then they get the guy who goes, oh, well, you know what? I took this carburetor off. I'm going to rebuild it, and I'll hold on to it. And they just accumulate this mass of junk that they think is going to make them money and ends up costing them
right.
a fortune.
So what is your background?
So I've actually done every phase of construction in my life. I was very blessed to have a father who was hands-on. He would build furniture as a hobby, and he was a machinist by trade. So that came off onto me. So I always loved to create. So I've done everything from putting in foundations to building houses to doing garages, which was, you know, the niche that I kind of got into because I love cars. I was talking to the Craftsman guys earlier. You know, I used to love going to garage sales and finding a toolbox and being able to exchange them and get the new ones for free
right.
so I could work on my cars, you know. So my background is buying a $75 Camaro when I was 16 and rebuilding the engine in my driveway with what I could find in a book. You know, I'm a hands-on guy, and there's nothing, whether it be metal or wood, that I don't want to work on, you know.
Joining us from Gas Monkey Garage and Garage Rehab is Russell Holmes. And new show on Discovery Channel. Where did you get, you know, I mean, was it Richard's idea? Did he hunt you guys down? And how did you guys put together your team for Garage Rehab?
So Richard, because he's been so blessed, and we all know what a humble guy Richard is,
he
wanted to actually help people and take his expertise and be able to translate that down
the road. Actually, you and I know that actually is true. He's going to South Korea
to
do some USO stuff.
Yeah, around Thanksgiving, and that's huge for him.
Right?
It's something he's really excited to be
part
of.
No, I know.
So the Richard that you get in Garage Rehab is a truer Richard to me. I mean, he wants to take his knowledge and his know-how and be able to give it to the businesses. So he came up with the idea, well, why not? He's had so many garages reaching out to him going, Richard, how do you do this? Richard, can you help me with this? So why not go out and find the ones that actually we can help? Because there's some beyond help as far as I'm concerned. But let's go out and find the ones we can help. And in order to do that, we need a guy who can come in and get these done, because Richard is so busy, he can't be there all the time. So he needs me there. So he ends up saying he needs to have somebody who can run a project. He needs to find somebody who knows cars and knows shops, and that's where Chris comes in. And he put together this team, and to me, I don't think he could have done a better job.
Gas Monkey Garage, Garage Rehab, Russell Holmes with us. When you started out your career, you talk about your dad. Got a Craftsman story in you anywhere?
You know, my favorite Craftsman story, and again, it goes back to the $75 car. So I end up getting this car, I tow it back to my house, and it's not starting. Well, of course it's not starting because there's something wrong with the engine.
That's why it was $75.
We take the intake manifold off, and what's laying underneath the intake manifold? A 916 Craftsman wrench.
Come on.
I swear to God. Somebody had started taking it apart and went, heck with this, I'm putting it back together and unloading it. And that Craftsman wrench, I ended up fixing that engine with that.
So, that's funny,
you know, to
right?
me, it was meant to be. I've always been a Craftsman guy. I mean, you just cannot beat the amount of tools that you can get in one place. It's almost overwhelming, you know. So I'd rather buy the sets that they put together because
right.
I'm not going to find out. But they have everything. So,
yeah,
I mean, to be here in Craftsman, well, there you go. Humbling to me.
A testimonial. He says it's humbling to be in the Craftsman booth.
Yeah, it is.
And the Craftsman future is bright. And if you guys want to know about the future of Craftsman, sign up at these kiosks around because something big is coming. We'll let you know, Russell Holmes. Give it up for Russell Holmes, Garage Rehab.
Cool, thanks,
Gas Monkey Garage. Pleasure to meet you, Russell. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be right back with more.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
This is the Craftsman Garage. This guy right next to me is Stacy David. You've seen him for 2 decades, Gears TV. He's on Velocity right now and has been for over a decade.
Yep, 12 years.
And he's now he makes tutus, children's books, Dodge Power Wagons that can drive over the top of anything. What else are you into? But really, truly, a children's book. Can we start there?
Yeah, if you want to.
And music? I mean, you know, he's in Nashville or somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, a lot of people don't realize I was a professional musician for 20-some years.
Right. You did.
I started playing professionally when I was 15.
Tiptoes Through the Tulips.
No, right? I didn't do that.
What did you play?
I would play guitar.
And sing?
Oh, yeah.
So the guy from...
I was on the Grand Ole Opry, man, in the
90s. Come on.
Yes, with Roy Acuff.
Little known fact.
Yeah, little known fact. There's actually pictures out there. Put it this way. I was the first and only person to ever moonwalk.
No.
I did. I kid you not. I did. And they were looking at me, Roy Acuff.
They're like, look,
what the heck is that? Yeah, not quite that. Oh, it was funny.
So, children's book.
Yeah.
What? Tell us about it.
Okay. A few years ago, I wrote a story called The Purple Bicycle. And it's basically about a bunch of bicycles. And one is not happy with himself because he thinks he's the wrong color. And this is before all the unrest that's going on now.
Wow.
Okay, so he sees a red bike that's really fast. So he thinks if he becomes red, he's going to be fast.
Wow.
Which obviously doesn't work. And so that's basically the story. So he goes through all these things trying to find his gift. And it comes out at the end, he realizes he already had a gift that... You got to read it. That's just kind of the premise.
FYI, my first Stingray was a purple Schwinn Stingray. I happen to like the color purple.
That's because you're that sort of person.
See?
And that's kind of odd for a boy to want a purple bicycle. But That's all right.
That's all right. Had a banana seat, too.
Mine did, too. Mine had a leopard banana seat.
And that's kind of odd, oh, yeah. by the way.
And it had the handbrake.
And
man,
he's
that was
got
hot.
A pair of matching underwear yeah. today. Leopard. Nice.
Now, but I'll tell you what. Everybody that ever grew up with bicycles is going to relate to this because all the different styles of bikes are in
yeah,
there. And
totally.
As you know, when we
right.
were growing up, everybody had a different bike, and it became part of your personality.
Yeah.
You had the Stingray guys. You had the BMX guys.
Sure.
You had the 10-speed guys. And all those bikes have their good qualities and bad. You know, you
right.
don't want to take a 10-speed off onto a mountain bike trail.
Right, right, right.
You know.
How cool is that, man? Little known facts. There's a big old giant heart pumping away inside that chest, probably full of cholesterol from all the soda.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, I got
right.
two daughters, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, so now the TV show. For those who have not seen yeah. TV in a while, obviously, a lot of people are watching stuff on their phone.
Yeah.
But tell them about Gears TV, because you have been one of those guys that actually does the work pretty much by yeah. yourself.
Yeah.
So talk
yeah.
about it.
Well, the difference between our show, and honestly, this is one of the reasons I tell people we've been on the air so long. We do a how-to show. We actually show people how to do stuff, how to solve issues, how to work with tools properly, and that kind of thing. We don't do a reality show, which is more of the, you know, what that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, any
kind of show I do.
Yeah, they both have their place, you know, but the how-to shows, you know, we get people coming up all the time. They're like, how do you solve this problem? How do you make this steering column work with this wiring harness? You know, what kind of tools do I need to do this?
Right.
And it's evergreen. So you can literally go back and see shows that I did 15, 20 years ago, and the content is still applicable.
Yeah.
It's not, it's evergreen, as we call it in television world.
Right, right.
And that's what you want to do. So because of that, I have this huge backlog of shows on YouTube. That's monstrous. You know,
right, right.
we have a huge viewership, and that's
so
really good.
You can watch his show. Is it at Velocity, or do they go to Gears TV?
Gears TV, if you want to back, you can actually see it on Velocity at 8 o'clock Saturday mornings. But if you want to just catch some of the back, we're on 150th episode.
Wow.
So if you want to see some of those shows, you can just go to our website, and you can log everything off there.
All right. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage. We'll be right back.
Outside, just banging on the front door.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. A special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. This guy right next to me is Stacy David. For a DIY how-to kind of guy, sitting here in the Craftsman Garage is 100% appropriate for you.
Oh, yeah.
The question I have is, do you have a Craftsman story inside of
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, my first set of tools that I got for Christmas when I was like 11 years old was Kmart tools. Awful.
But,
I mean, you know the little metal case that you were in?
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
Well, I beat those tools to pieces. And then when I moved to Nashville, I needed a good set of tools.
Yeah.
Well, Craftsman was the one I wanted.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford them. So I bought my first set of Craftsman tools at a pawn shop, a used set of Craftsman
really?
Tools.
Really?
Yes. I still have them. I have them hanging on the wall.
Seriously, right?
And they're all rusty, and the dog right, peed right. on them, and all
yeah,
kinds well, of stuff.
You know what, though? Yeah. I was saying yesterday.
Case.
Yesterday.
It's my old Craftsman
you
set.
Mean, so you have them under glass almost, but
yeah,
in your case,
I have them
plastic.
On the wall. Yeah.
Right? So my tools that I got from my dad, stole from my dad many, many years ago, those are in like this one drawer. I don't use them because they have such sentimental value.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Who does that?
Yeah.
Guys do. You know, I mean, like,
it's
my
like
wife.
You can tear up a tool.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's the same as it was then as it is now. But
yeah.
No, those are special. You know, it's like my wife has her wedding dress. It's 31 years old. I go, what are you going to do with that thing? It's not like you're going to use it again.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, no, it's a wedding dress. Well, these are my wedding tools.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, so, Craftsman was it, man.
That's neat.
That was at that time, you know, it was the tool for the everyday guy.
Right.
And it was professional level.
Which it still is.
And the big thing was for me is that you could go down to Sears. At the time, it was Sears. I guess you guys are Ace Hardware now.
Well, it's getting ready to go everywhere.
But the thing is, you could go down, no questions asked, you throw down a ratchet, and you get another one.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Man, for the guy that's working in his garage,
so
that was huge.
Yeah.
That was just huge.
All right, let's talk about your 1941 Dodge Power Wagon that
yes.
I had one myself.
Yes.
Tell about that car, because I know that you have a fondness for the military. And,
yeah,
and
my dad was military.
Thank you. Tell me about that.
First of all, you know, we're big supporters of the military and any of the police, any of the...
First responders.
Yeah, the first responders, EMTs, firemen, anything. Those guys put their lives on the line all the time. I go back with Sergeant Rock to when I was about 3 years old. This truck used to sit on the local airport and...
What do you call it, Sergeant Rock?
Sergeant Rock is the name of it, yeah. Based on the old comic book. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it used to sit there on the local airport and plow the snow. It had a big snow plow on the front and chains on it.
Love it.
And I didn't even realize it until later on in the story when I found it later on that it was the same truck. So anyway, I was doing trucks, the show trucks at the time, and I was looking for a cool project to do. And I called my dad out there in Idaho, and I said, I'm looking for a 41 Dodge Power Wagon. My dad's not really a car guy that much, so he's like, well, there's power wagons everywhere. And I said,
no,
it's got to be a 41, because 41 was a one-year-only deal, the half-ton.
Was it really?
One-year-only. It was a half-ton WC with a sloping hood.
Yeah.
And they're very unique.
Isn't that weird that I had one?
One-year-only? I'm telling you,
bizarre,
they're super
right?
rare.
You know, I paid $1,300 for mine. Of course, that was in 1980, but go ahead. Right?
So anyway, Dad says, well, I think there's one down the road in the field. And I'm like, yeah, right. The chances that that's like, and is there a Hemi Cuda beside
it? Right.
You know, so anyway, he sends me pictures, and sure enough, it's not only a 41 Power Wagon, it's the truck. And I'm, all of a sudden, man, I'm like a little kid, and I'm looking at the truck that I remembered as a kid.
Yeah.
So I had to have it. And the guy, you know, he's like, well, you know, that owned it. He's like, well, you know, it's a Power Wagon. I got to have $2,500 for
Whoa,
it.
Whoa, look at you.
So I get, there's almost no rust on the cab. And my brother, who's not really a car guy, he looks at it and goes, this is such a piece of.
Yeah, right?
You can't believe you gave $2,500 for that. You know,
yeah,
well,
has he seen it lately?
Oh, yeah. He's looking at it now going, yeah, so what's it worth
well,
now?
Well, tell what you've done to it, because you spent a number of episodes working on it.
Yeah, actually, it was about a 10-year-long build, because I bridged the show trucks and gears, you know, doing that. And obviously, I had to probably built 10 or 15 other high-level vehicles, so it kind of had to take its time.
Yeah.
But basically, we did kind of a monster truck-style suspension on it, but it's street legal. We put the largest DOT-approved tire on. It's 54 inches tall.
Wow.
Rockwell axles. I used suspension components from Predator Monster Truck, nitrogen shocks, the whole deal.
Wow.
But
what's it powered by?
It's powered by a big Indy cylinder heads based off of a 440 wedge, but it's a 605, wow. Right at 950 horsepower.
Oh, my gosh.
And it'll pull the front end off the ground.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Pop a wheelie with that, baby.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing when you
that's
see that.
That's awesome.
But
you also, there's like a military thing going on with it, right?
Yeah, I tied it in with the Memphis Belle. The Memphis Belle, the World War II bomber, the B-17, was actually being restored down in Millington at the time. So we went down there, did a bunch of interviews with these old World War II vets. It was really magical. And we got actual rivets off of the Memphis Belle.
That's awesome.
That I incorporated into it. I made a trip out to Normandy Beach in France. Took 7 stones off of Omaha Beach.
Yeah.
And I've got them in the shape of a cross, you know, done into a wing thing from an F-6F Hellcat.
Yeah.
You know, just all that World War II stuff. I'm a big World War II fan.
Yeah, you are.
And it's got twin 50 caliber machine guns in the bed. And here's the story. At first, I got actual guns from the Memphis Belle.
Wow.
And, you know, they were like, anybody that has a real 50 cal, the government knows about all of them, even though these were welded up.
Yeah.
So I had them on loan, and about a year into the build, I get a call from the government.
Oh, no.
And they're saying, we want our guns.
Really?
They came and got them, yeah.
Wow.
When the airplane went to Ohio, they took it out of Millington, they came and got the guns.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't realize is I have B-52 bomber door handles on it.
Awesome.
That I also got from them.
That's
and so
awesome.
When I asked the guy, I said, are they going to want the door handles? Because we'd already engineered them into the doors.
Right.
And into the tailgate. And he goes, what door handles? And I'm like, you're my friend.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you can watch all these different episodes, all the DIY how-to stuff on Stacey David's Gears, Saturday morning at 8 on Velocity. You are a rock star, literally. And Stacey, keep up the good work, because
thank you, man.
You have been so helpful to, you know, so many people. Seeing your enthusiasm and doing such a great job, really appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Really,
you too,
appreciate
man.
You
keep you. Up
yes,
your good job.
You. Give it up for Stacey David. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage. When you get up out of bed,
just hit that street. Not all projects offer enough space to swing a hammer. Now you can drive a nail in tight spaces with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Hammerhead Auto Hammer. With an adjustable head that pivots 0, 45, and 80 degrees, you can work on projects in tight corners or overhead with ease. Plus, two built-in LED lights and a convenient magnetic sleeve that helps position the nail will make your next project a breeze. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
This is the Craftsman Garage. Rutledge Wood, everybody. I was just asking Matt, you know, it's like sometimes you see ads, and I want you to know, guys like me are looking for the people that aren't thinking when they put their ad up.
Right.
They put dark pictures. The car is like, there's a parking lot full of cars. Which one is it? You know, get up on that car. Get intimate with that car. Take it in. Have it detailed. Make sure you put tons of photos. I want to see the carpet. I want to see the underneath side of the dash.
Right.
I want to see the engine, the tires. I want to put the penny in the tire so I can see Lincoln's head. I want to see everything about that car. So if you don't want to get the most money for your car, put bad pictures. If you want to get the most money, do a little bit of homework. See what everybody else is doing.
Great advice.
Yeah.
You know, too, the kind of the art of that, that is a little bit of the chase, right? Because sometimes you think like, hey, what if it's that third car? Because
right.
I know something about that third car that maybe everybody else doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love the most about eBay is when you search on eBay Motors and you start to really dig, you realize how many specialty products there are, how many one-offs, how many rare. Because a lot of people go, oh, I got an old set of American Racing wheels. Now we look and go, oh my gosh, they've got a set of magnesium daisies, which not only are they illegal and almost impossible to find, they're in mint condition.
Wow.
But they're a weird size, so everyone else might not be looking for them.
Right.
Like, that's the hustle that I love about it.
I did some stuff to raise money for the Patriot Outreach I was telling you yesterday, and same kind of a deal as a Mustang. We raised $51,000. eBay, big-hearted company, looks at where there is a need and comes to the rescue for people in need in this way. For the PTSD guys that came back and families, you know, from overseas that had problems, man, you save lives with cars. I love that.
You wear the shirt well, and thank you for representing.
It's a little bit tight
business.
Now, by the way. I noticed, by the way, you lost weight. Looks like you're putting a little back on there, buddy.
Just in the beard. Just in the beard. Well, that, you know what's funny is that when you talk about heart, when eBay called and said, hey, we have this idea for a charity build, and we want to see what you think. And I said, okay, great. What do you got? And they said, look, we want you to build a car. So buy the car, all the parts, everything you need, all off eBay. And then let's auction the car off on the website. And let's raise all this money for JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. So for me, you know, having three kids and everybody that we had involved in the project, all parents, like everybody knows what a special thing that is. And so we approached it as, if we're going to raise money for a special cause for kids, let's make a car that kids would love. Like, let's try to make a real life Hot Wheels car. Because I think that's what, you know,
we've been talking about that. You see how, you know, our ideas?
Right.
We're not the only ones with these great ideas, right?
Because here's why. When you think of a 67 Fastback, you think of Bullet, you think of Gone in 60
right.
Seconds. There's a lot of really cool cars out there. And so if that was our starting point and 50th anniversary of that, I said, well, let's do something crazy. Let's do something people haven't seen before.
Yep.
So we still found great deals on all the kind of parts that I put on cars normally, but we just changed how we would do them. So that's how we have a Fastback on 31s with a 427 Ford Performance under the hood. Inglis 8-stack injector. It's got a TKO 600 5-speed. And it is a monster. And people, when they see it, their smiles light up.
Yep.
And hopefully all those things that we wanted to accomplish will be done. And it was all because of eBay Motors.
So here's the thing. I want you guys to know that I didn't get convicted for this, but I did steal a car once in my life. It was in 1968. I was 8 years old, the year that Hot Wheels was made. I stole a Hot Wheels from a little toy store and got caught. Now, I peed my pants, and because I peed my pants, he took the Hot Wheels out of my pocket and let me go. And I had, you know, pee stain going down my pants.
Took it out of your pocket, huh?
Because I put it in my pocket. Okay, yeah. And my dad says, he calls my dad, and my dad says, put him in jail. I was 8 years old. So now my son's sitting over here. Don't ever steal any cars like dad did. But anyway, I mean, I was so passionate even as an 8-year-old kid. That's my little known fact, all right?
Are you sure we aren't related?
What is your little known fact? What do you want to tell the world about what nobody really knows about Rutledge Wood?
Oh, that's a hard one. When you do enough oddly skewed
ever
reality
steal a car?
TV.
Ever steal a car? even dad's?
My friend Richard Davis and I borrowed his mom's 1990 Lexus ES250 in Birmingham, Alabama when we were 14 years old.
Oh, my God.
We had to push it down his driveway in the dark, and he didn't know that when the car's off, the brakes are a little bit different.
Oh, no.
And everything was fine until we weren't sure, like, how bad was the shrub damage because it's in the dark. We basically pushed it down, bailed on it, and then started it, drove it like 20 feet, coasted, and put it back where it was in the driveway. And we're like, we're fine. There's no damage. The bumper looks good. But we didn't know that it was
under
like a prize rose bush that the car had slightly remodeled the next morning. And that's hard to play the fool on.
Oh, that was
the only time I borrowed something without asking.
That's called stealing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell the world what's next for Rutledge Wood before we say goodbye to you, because Gas Monkey Garage and Garage Rehab coming up next, everybody.
What up? What up? I think they have a barber shop on site, for the record.
I know. They're
dudes,
all clean cut.
Man,
right?
They're like they just got a trim. I'm jealous. Yeah, so Adam Ferrara, Tanner Faust, and I are going to go back to work, go make another great show somewhere.
Right.
And it'll be a show like you've seen us do before, Three Idiots in Cars.
You could call it Low Gear.
You could, right? Other gears. There's going to be a new Shifting Gears my buddy Aaron Kaufman's doing, so we can't use that name.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Liked it a lot.
Right.
But yeah, so we're going to go back to work on that, and I'm just really excited. We're wrapping up the eBay sale today with the Mustang, and just want to say thank you for them and the love they put into this car.
Yep.
For JDRF, it's been an amazing project to be a part of. I'll be in Phoenix for the NASCAR race, Miami, of course, and then you'll see me somewhere at the Super Bowl. I'll be in the Winter Olympics.
Thank you, Rutledge Wood.
Come check
Matt
out the
Thompson.
eBay Motors Mustang right out front.
Hey, go and bid on
it's
the
beautiful.
eBay Motors car. Rutledge Wood, everybody. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485-horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car, at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is Ray Evernham, Josh Hancock, and the guy, by the way, in Hollywood that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. And, of course, this movie you guys just did, is let's just start there, and then we'll work our way back because we got a few minutes. Thanks for joining us in the Craftsman Garage.
Well, thank you. It's always great to be here to see you and an incredible show at SEMA. I get a little bit overstimulated as I look through the crowd at some of these cars. So if you have to go, Ray, it's because I'm, whoa, look at that Bronco. Whoa, look at those
right,
wheels. Yeah.
Right. So Ray, by the way, for those who don't know, he's a television host, Americana. You see his shirt, Big Iron Garage. He's got a series going on with Valvoline.
Yeah, it's on TeamValvoline.com, and it basically, if you were at the Valvoline booth and saw that wild car, it was a building that car. We call it the Ghost, and now we did 10 episodes on the building, how we built it, why we built it, because it's a pretty different project. We wanted to use all new parts, new technology, but we wanted to build it the old school way, the way you would have, or I would have, in my garage years ago when
right.
I started racing. So we drew it out on the floor and used poster paper and different things and built that car. Everything on it's hand fabricated. There's no composite. It is a 1936 Chevy sedan body on a chassis that I've fully designed. It's the first full chassis I've designed since the early 2000s. It has complete underbody aerodynamics from a 1980s Formula One car, including a huge rear diffuser. It's got air jacks, a suspension that I designed front and rear, including a fully cockpit adjustable shock setup and a what we call a torque arm with shocks and things that I can adjust on the inside. All of the electronics.
He's a racer, you know. He had to have all that.
By AEM computer dash. We took an all aluminum Chevrolet SB2 410 cubic inch motor, 850 horsepower. And we grafted vintage Kinsler injection and then added the new Bosch fuel injection. So, again, everything is electronically engine-controlled management. You could have traction control, ABS, just about everything that that you want.
If I built that car, I'd want to be buried in it, by the way.
I'm going to do my best to try not to be.
No, but the day is going to come. You got to pick one car to be buried in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Cars 3. You've been working on that movie for years. And all of a sudden, you're now one of the characters.
Yeah.
And tell them your name, by the way, because Ray Evernham joining us. And what is your name in Cars 3?
Well, it's Ray Reverham. And I'm actually the crew chief for the bad guy. I'm Jackson Storm's crew chief. So it was. So I always go Jackson Storm. And everybody's like, how could you root against Lightning McQueen? Well, I was Jackson Storm's crew chief. But
he's the underdog.
Pixar. Just incredible people to work with and work behind the scenes on stories. And actually, one of the cars that I own was a character in the movie, the Junior Midnight Moon. It was based on my 1944 that was actually a moonshine car. As filming and some of the consulting was slowing down, they said, hey, come record these lines. And I figured I'm going to end up on the cutting room floor, but they were nice enough to make me a character. And it means way more to my children than me. You know, if you say, hey, Daddy won the Daytona 500, or Daddy's car won Indy, or Daddy's, it doesn't matter. Daddy's a character in Cars 3, so Daddy's a hero.
That's right. Let me know when you get Facebook Live going. I'll do a little introduction thing. So here we are at SEMA 2017. So much going on, and you're going to be bumping elbows with celebrities like this. Matter of fact, I saw Richard Petty. You know, I mean, you see him, you know him. He's got the hat and it's kind of his outfit. But you're walking around with a backpack just like everybody else because you are the collective soul of our hobby. You're doing it. You've lived that life. You're in television. You're in the movies as cartoon characters. You're like the Omega Man when it comes to this stuff. You do everything.
I'm just the luckiest guy in the world.
You are, man.
It's an incredible opportunity to be able to come here.
We were talking about new technologies yesterday, actually, with Steve Saleen.
Right.
And how we're getting more horsepower and we're combining electric with traditional. How do you feel about that? Are you excited about it?
Yeah, it's the future, right? Cars used to be the leading technology. That's what people were excited about. You know, now we get pretty excited about our phone. Nobody ever wrote a love song about their phone, though. They wrote like love songs about cars. So I'm excited to see that technology. I really believe that that combination of hybrid or full electric is coming to motorsports. I know that the global rallycross guys are really looking at it, moving towards that in a hurry. Formula E is doing well. Look, you know, it's the future. And if we can get younger people, more people interested in motorsports because of it, yeah, man, let's do it.
All right.
But so, we can just play like really loud music that sounds like a big block Chevy, right?
Right.
Well, I suspect that your daily driver is still not going to be a Prius.
Let's find out about that. So we're just on live on Facebook Live right now. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Ray Evernham and Josh Hancock. We're talking cars inside the Craftsman Garage. Welcome aboard the audience that we have right now, and I'm sure it'll grow as it continues. But let's talk about what was it like making a movie with Pixar and having to give them real life information so they could make Cars 3 to where adults could watch it with their kids and know that it's authentic. I mean, it's a pretty real thing that you guys put together.
I think that's one of the things that amazed me about the Pixar group is how much attention they paid to detail and how respectful they were of the history of NASCAR. I'm going to tell you, the more I watch the movie, right down to how the texture of the dirt at the dirt track, the red clay of North Carolina, some of the signs, the leaves. If you look in the background, like look past the cars, and then how Lightning and Cruz Ramirez even move on the dirt, how their tires move and how they go up and down. They are incredible people.
Detail,
it takes a long time. You know, it was hours and hours of Jeff Gordon and I sat there for hours one day talking about the things, how we would talk on the radio to one another. And then they brought my wife in, Aaron, to talk about how lady racers went. And then they came to the shop and we drove around and I let them drive the moonshine car. And then they went and saw Junior Johnson. But it was I understand why it takes so much time, because they do not let one thing go. And I'll tell you, the more I watch that movie, the more I realize that, you know, you're not going to find something that conflicts and go, oh, that's not right. The deeper I look, the more I find how hard they worked.
Yeah. Sadly, in most movies, automobiles is the part that's left out. So there are directors who will focus as much on cars as they do wardrobe or costume sets, but usually they don't. And there are very specific directors who do. Martin Scorsese, he's a big car guy. He wants it to be as correct. And sadly, there aren't enough guys like Jay. And Jay is such a car
Jay
guy.
Ward.
Jay Ward. He's
at
such
Pixar.
A car guy.
Well,
this was his dream.
He's the guardian of the car's brand. I mean, he even did the stuff at Disneyland.
Yes.
You know?
Jay is... But, you know, really good point you make there, because me as a car guy, if I'm watching
you
a movie...
You see it all the time.
It could be a great movie, and if the movie's set in 1959, and I see a 65 Mustang or something, I'm like, whoa, dude.
I get the call.
Know? Yeah.
and it's very frustrating, because... In the world of product placement also, because part of my job is to say, well, this character wouldn't drive this car. And oftentimes they want the money. The studio wants the money. So they put the character in the wrong car. I mean, Ben Affleck was in a tiny Jeep in Batman running around, and you're like, this big guy in this little Jeep. Yeah. Why? Well, he got a lot of money for it.
Oh, product placement.
Said, no, that's just not right.
Yeah.
And for all you manufacturers, OEMs out there, I'm just talking. I don't mean it. It's a big mistake. So to see this franchise that's so important and be
such a
so
great movie,
to hear about the dirt, I mean, I love that.
Yeah. All the minutia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they say the devil's in the details, right?
Yeah.
And again, they had spent time and pictures and, you know, honestly, I probably spent between being on the phone or being at Pixar in person 50 to 60 hours with them, and then they would just send footage after footage. What do you think about this? Right down to when they're running the cars on the simulators and they're saying, does this sound right? Is this percentage right? Or is this gain right? You're thinking, wow, they're not just making a kid's movie. You know, Cars is really a car movie.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up something about sound, because the Foley guys, they're there after the fact. So we don't often get the wild track of the sound when cars are pulling away. So you see somebody pull away in a Lincoln Continental, and they match it to a guy going with a 3-speed shifting up through the gears.
Right,
and you
it's go, an
wait
automatic.
A minute, that's not right.
It's horrible.
And it really takes you out of the film.
Well, what happens is it pops your brain into neutral because you're going, what? That's an automatic, and that guy was shifting gears.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking with Ray Evernham.
About that sound?
Yeah.
One comment. Jay Ward, like, if it's a Hudson, he goes out and finds a Hudson.
Yeah.
Wow.
If it's a Ford Mustang, he'll use a Ford Mustang.
And,
he's really particular about that.
And there are filmmakers who do that with regular films. There are just more who don't.
We're talking about Cars 3. If you haven't seen it, download
it. Came out.
Rent
it. Just came out on Blu-ray, digital.
Just so you can get it, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, first of all, Cars, that changed it for my kids. Being able to watch something so authentic, and my boys are, and my daughter even, real car people. And so we all, and in this hobby here at SEMA, we appreciate what the energy that Pixar put into that, and knowing that guys like you were behind it, thank you too, Ray Evernham.
Oh, hey, it was a blessing. They didn't have to ask me twice.
Yeah, right. All right. I'm Alan Taylor. This is the Craftsman Garage. We'll be right back.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is Ray Evernham, Josh Hancock. This is the Craftsman Garage. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame thing for a second. That's huge, man. And you deserve it. But what's that like?
Thank you. You know, I've got to tell you, that's a very humbling experience because never in a million years, even though you know, we had a good career and won a lot of races and championships, but when you look at the list of people that are in there and the list of people waiting to get in, when your name is called, it's a very, very emotional, like a fire hose of emotions, because all of a sudden, everything you've ever done in your life really comes up before you and the people that have helped you get there that either are no longer here to see it
right.
or or, you know, you think, man, this guy bought me a tire one night when I really needed it, or this guy lent me $5 to get enough gas to get home.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're there with your heroes.
Right.
You look at Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt, and, you know, for me as a mechanic, you know, the Dale Enmans and the Leonard Woods and people like that, I'm thinking, I don't deserve to be with those guys. And, you know, so it's been an incredible cap. As you know, I just recently retired for the second time from NASCAR.
You're
from
right.
My job at Hendrick. And I've told Mr. Hendrick, please don't call me. I'm not coming back this time. But he's still a good friend. Good
yeah,
friend. But
good guy.
I don't want to, you know, so it's a perfect, you know, a perfect cap off to the NASCAR career. But I want to take the time to do more things like this that I've not been able to do for the past 40 years.
Well, what I like about Ray Evernham as we sit here in the Craftsman Garage is that he's a wrench. He's a gearhead. He's got his shirt. It says Big Iron Garage. He's in there working with the guys. You helped work on and build the Ghost, you call it?
Yeah, yeah.
The car that's over in the Valvoline booth, you can go check it out. But I know that tools are the tools of your trade. Some people, the tools of the trade are computers. Tools are the tools of your trade.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was odd. You know, I felt dumb. I was like, hey, so, oh, wow. Who? I didn't realize this, but, you know, Mac Tools, who is certainly under the umbrella, as well as the folks here at Craftsman, have been part of my career from the time that I raced in New Jersey for all the way up, have always been side by side, been a partner through Stanley, Mack Brand, and the Craftsman. They have been a partner, and Craftsman's done so much for NASCAR racing, you know, early on in the truck series and supporting a lot of race teams. And I was like, wow, it's just like family coming home. Every step of the way, you know, they've been there. I swear to you, I have some of the tools that I bought when I worked in a Texaco station in Homedale, New Jersey. I was, I think, 15 or 16 years old, and the guy used to let us pay him $5 a week. Remember, the guy'd come by, you're back, and your Mac Tool guy or your Craftsman guy. You know, Craftsman, we could run over a Sears Roebuck. Mac Tool truck would come, but I still have some of those tools. So it was really cool, and I'm really excited about some of the things that you said are coming up.
Yeah. Speaking of the things that are coming up, if you want to know about the future of the Craftsman brand here in SEMA, there are these little kiosks, and you sign up, and you'll be the first to know, because next year is going to be a massive year for the Craftsman brand. Can't tell you everything right now.
Come on, just when nobody else, I won't tell anybody.
I'll help you sign up, Ray. All right, so can we do a little shout out to Aaron and you know, his wife, who's also a racer. And it's just so impressive when you look at her career. It's like these two go together so well, and a new father.
Yeah.
And just give us a couple minutes on the man, Ray Evernham.
Well, Aaron and I don't go together so well when we're racing. Every time we race together, that's almost divorce court
right
now. But Aaron is an incredible dirt racer. You know, she's been retired now, but she is the only lady ever to win a World of Outlaws main event, past Steve Kinzer on the last lap in Tulare, California. Made the Knoxville Nationals two times. And her last sprint car race, she actually won in our car. But her and I tangled on the last lap. She flipped and won anyway.
Oh,
so that
God.
Was
right.
Quiet. Right. It was quiet at our house for a while.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Give it up for Ray Evernham, everybody. Ray Evernham over here in the Craftsman Garage. Ray, thank you. Keep up the good work. Let me know if I can ever help anything you guys do. And you've been a part of this family for a long time, so appropriate that it's here in the Craftsman Garage.
Well, thanks. Great to see everybody, Josh.
Yep.
Meet
Great.
You. If you need any cars, buddy. Let me know.
There you go.
We can hook you up.
All right. Get Cars 3 just out on Blu-ray. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back. Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. A special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. SEMA 2017. Right now, I'm broadcasting in the Craftsman Garage. I have some guys here from the TV show Dirt Every Day. We have Fred Williams and Dave Chappelle. Not the Dave Chappelle that's the comedian. The guy that gets in the dirt every day, Dave Chappelle. And well, let's start out with that. First of all, I mean, you got the name of a pretty famous comedian. That had to have helped you by accident.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I was like 12 years old and Robin Hood Men in Tights, I was going downhill from there.
Is that, was he in that?
I knew it was going to be a long road right. Then.
You're the white Dave Chappelle. Fred, how did you guys get started with this show?
Well, our company, I work for the Enthusiast Network. And so we have this show, this channel called the Motor Trend Channel. And they were doing a show called Roadkill and a bunch of Motor Trend car testing stuff. And I went to the guys in charge of the show and said, look, you're doing all these videos where the cars are on asphalt. You need a dirt show. When you go off-road, it adds a whole other dimension. There's hills and there's dirt and there's dust. And at the end of the day, that's so much more exciting than just cars on asphalt, at least as far as Dave and I are concerned.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I used to work for Motor Trend. I did the radio show for them twice in the last 20 years, for about 5 years and then for a couple years, and back and forth between Motor Trend and Car and Driver. But, you know, I mean, we're car guys, right? So we jump around a little bit. But I think that what they've done is nothing less than brilliant with this whole Motor Trend channel. And now the proof is in the pudding with the fact that Discovery Channel is looking at it going, yeah, so now they bought that. And that whole TV part of it is part of Discovery Networks, which has got to be good for you guys.
Oh, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the company is really coming up with some amazing technology in the next 6 months where you'll be able to watch the show on your phone. You'll be able to interact with the hosts. There will be events. It's really growing. Like the kind of behind-the-scenes technology is where the next big investment is coming for
right.
Motor Trend on Demand.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny. My boys, you know, we live in Oregon, so we have dirt every day.
Oh, we're in Oregon.
Right. We live in southern Oregon on the Rogue River, beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
They made the movie Rooster Cogburn and the Wild Rogue with John Wayne.
Yep.
And when John Wayne died, my dad bought his ranch.
Really?
So I was 20 years old. I went up to Oregon. I'm like, hell, I like it here from Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I went from being a beach kid and surfer to a wheeler, as my kids call it. And I bought a 41 Dodge Power Wagon military truck.
Nice.
Put a V8 engine in it, you know, late model. And, man, we used to terrorize the mountains. To your point, it is fun.
It's a lot
sure.
of fun.
I own a Viper ACR today, so I love the street, but I love the dirt. I won the Baja 500 with Hummer in 2006. So I have grit in my teeth. But like you guys, you have to drive on the street to get to work, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's kind of the two worlds. And I happen to be a fan of both.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I'm going to try to go to the Baja 1000 this year. I've been asked to talk at a couple different things. So I'm a big fan of the dirt. My children are big Jeep fans. They're always doing something. So give us kind of an example of one of your favorite episodes or something.
Well, Dave and I have done everything from buy a set of Baja Bugs and kind of go out to the desert together. We built a Jeep that we drove underwater. That's one of our biggest episodes. We turned a motorhome into a giant man-sized go-kart. We recently, Dave bought a RAV4.
Yeah.
The little
front-wheel drive.
Yeah, the littlest, tiniest front-wheel drive.
Right.
And we turned it into a four-wheel drive rock crawler.
What? A rad of a RAV4?
Yeah,
that must have been
it's
difficult.
It's called the RAD4. It's live now.
RAD4.
Yeah.
RAD4.
And so our basic MO is build something crazy or fun to play in the dirt. Whether it's a two-wheel drive, we make four-wheel drive, or whether it's a four-wheel drive, we just make bigger. Like, we took a Ford truck and put 54-inch tall tires on it and just took it rock crawling to see what would break.
Good Lord.
And
it was amazing.
And we got a lot of views, and it was a lot of fun.
So where can people find Dirt Every Day? You said it's on Netflix, too.
We have one season on Netflix. But the real push right now is Motor Trend On Demand.
Yeah.
You can go to Motor Trend On Demand. You can subscribe, and you can see all of our shows, whether it's Hot Rod Garage, Roadkill, Dirt Every Day, and a lot of new shows that we're developing.
Yeah.
The other thing on Motor Trend On Demand is we're doing what are called extras, where every day there's a new short video, some sort of content where it's either tech tips or just kind of talking about previous project vehicles and showing where they're at now.
Right.
So
doing a lot of these extras. It's just pretty fun getting to see behind the scenes and everything.
It's literally 5 days a week we have a new video.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Fred Williams, Dave Chappelle, Dirt Every Day, part of the Discovery Networks, part of 10, the Enthusiast Network. Guys, keep up the good work, man.
Thank you, Alan.
Appreciate it. Well, that's about it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.